The panel discussion in Petersburg was organized by State Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins and included Andy Jones, director of the state's Office of Substance Misuse and Addiction Prevention. Jones said the state officials were hoping to get some input and had stops in Craig and Ketchikan prior to coming to Petersburg.
We're really here to hear your guys' concerns, you know, your guys' recommendations, your ideas. And I will tell you, traveling to Craig and Ketchikan yesterday, we've just gained a wealth of knowledge from the communities. We're taking this information, we're going to actually use it to draft up action plans for the communities, for the state, so that as we're working to actually build a system and a capability, we're doing it together.
Jones also answered a question on increasing the options for treatment for people who are addicted.
You know, we are working to expand treatment through some federal grants, but we got to do it in a very systematic approach, better for better. And so what I was saying is a lot of times communities will say, as we travel around the state, I need detox, I need treatment. But you also got to consider, do you have the sober living homes? Do you have the peer recovery services? Because there is a timeline, you know, that detox and treatment does end. But so often recovery is a lifelong event. So if you don't have those support mechanisms in your community, you know, the scary part is that can really set that individual up for that relapse and failure.
Both the state and federal governments have issued opioid disaster declarations. In Alaska, that's meant widespread distribution of around 8,000 kits to save someone from an overdose. Dr. Jay Butler, chief medical officer of the Division of Public Health, told the audience that last year, 96 Alaskans died from opioid overdose. This year, that number is around 81.
I don't want to overpromise. I'd like to think we're not going to go above 96 this year. But it has changed in that we have seen some pretty dramatic declines in prescription opioid overdoses, but the number of fentanyl overdoses is at least threefold higher so far this year compared to what it was last year.
Fentanyl is a strong, cheap synthetic opioid that can be mixed with heroin, sometimes without a drug user knowing. Local police chief Kelly Swihart told the audience he's not heard of fentanyl use here, but said that didn't mean it isn't being used in Petersburg. The state's Butler said a shortage of facilities and providers for treatment in the state is still a challenge. He thought the expansion of Medicaid coverage has made a difference in making that treatment more available. Butler said this was his third year on the job with the Walker administration.
Prior to getting a call from the administration, I was a real doctor. And I saw patients because of my specialty. Many of them either were in recovery or actively using drugs. And it was very frustrating. Sometimes people get to that point where most everybody gets to a point where they are driven by the addiction. And they want help. They want out of this. And it was one of the most frustrating things I've ever dealt with as a physician to not know how to help those people. So I think we've made progress over 3 years. We're not where we need to be, but I think we're heading in the right direction.
He's also part of a task force on opioid policy that came out with recommendations in early 2017. Butler said the state is seeking a waiver from the Centers for Medicaid Services, which could help with the availability of beds in treatment facilities in Alaska. Petersburg Mental Health Services Director Susan Omer said in her experience, people have been waiting 4 months to get into a treatment center. She thought the current physicians in Petersburg are the best during her time here in terms of working with addiction, and Omer wanted more second chances for people looking for a job or finding a place to live.
That would be the biggest hole that I see, that I would love for us to become a community that was more able to figure out how do we give people more chances in a way that doesn't make us resentful, that we can give people an opportunity to become healthy and be a new part of our lives and not get stuck in that. I knew him since high school and he's always been that way.
Omer is also part of a local group called the SHARE Coalition, supporting health awareness and resiliency education. That group formed in 2006 to respond to the problems of alcohol, substance abuse, and suicide in the community, and it meets once a month. Some of the discussion focused on the supply of legal prescription medications, often cited as fueling the addiction crisis. John Haverlick said he was prescribed painkillers after a hip replacement and quickly decided he did not want the 50 pills prescribed. He ended up throwing them away.
And Big Pharma is making hundreds of billions of dollars pushing this crap. And as you started off with at the beginning, that's what's starting this and keeping this going. Is there any option at all to ban opioids or to legislate against them? Because if we didn't have that going, we wouldn't have all this problem.
The state officials pointed to House Bill 159 passed this year, which made changes for prescribing painkillers. For people looking to get rid of their medications, there's also a new collection box in the lobby of the local police station installed this year, and various agencies around town have kits for disposing of pills. SHARE Coalition member Mark Kubo warned against marginalizing people who actually need painkillers.
People who do suffer from chronic pain, who do need kind of these strong pain relievers, they're feeling stigmatized and shamed because they use these things now. I think one of the unintended consequences of kind of this focus on fighting opioid abuse is that people who legitimately need them are feeling marginalized now.
Panelists also discussed law enforcement's role in reducing the supply of illegal drugs. Police Chief Swihart noted that drug users will switch what they're using if the supply of one type of drug is cut off. And the state's butler pointed out that alcohol abuse still kills more people than opioids. The state officials urged the community to address the underlying reasons why people are turning to drugs and alcohol and seek to connect with people suffering from mental health problems or trauma from earlier in life. Since the forum in Petersburg, Governor Bill Walker released his proposed operating budget for next year. He's seeking a $34 million increase in state spending to help pay for expansion of treatment programs and additional investigators and prosecutors. That proposal will be up to the legislature to consider when it starts meeting in January. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.